You're listening to SBS On The Money with Ricardo Gonçalves.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to the SBS On The Money podcast for this Tuesday, the 11th of November, 2025. It's a day where the Australian share market fell, the S&P ASX 200 down 0.2%. We'll tell you why with Jamie Hanna from Van Eck in a few moments. But first to the Westpac Melbourne Institute Consumer Sentiment Index. It's a survey closely watched by the RBA. Well, it surged nearly 13% in November to a reading of 103.8. So anything above 100 suggests optimists outnumber pessimists. And if you remove the impact of COVID, it's the best result in 7 years. Easing trade tensions along with a recovery in consumer demand and especially housing markets helped. And that's a surprising result because it comes as inflation re-accelerates, along with the prospect of further interest rate cuts diminishing. So to find out why and what it says about the economy, I spoke with Matt Hassan, senior economist at Westpac. Matt, so consumer sentiment roared into positive territory the first time since February 2022. Ignore the pandemic the first time in 7 years. You've said this is an extraordinary and somewhat surprising result. Why?
Well, it's really about the context. We'd seen in the previous couple of months, sentiment was still negative overall and had softened a bit as people were becoming a little bit more concerned about inflation coming back onto the radar and what that might mean for the interest rate outlook. And if anything, in September, it was the September quarter CPI, that really reinforced those expectations, the RBA leaving rates on hold in November. So we've all expected that negative to really dominate the result. Instead, we've got this large rise back into outright positive. And the main positives seem to be a mixture of things. So domestically, we're seeing more evidence of a recovery gaining momentum around the consumer and in the housing markets. And offshore, some of the risks that have been hanging over the consumer, the threats, have diminished a little bit. We've seen the US-China trade agreements taking some of those risks off the table, plus the US-Australia agreement around critical minerals, which also thankfully didn't result in a whack around tariffs for Australia as well. I think that relief has been a factor in the month, and those two combined have more than offset what, which was in the details, some drag from that interest rate and inflation piece, but the positives won on the day.
Yes, sir. How would you explain that balance? If the consumer's looking at the external environment and thinking, hey, it's great that these trade tensions, for example, have eased, yet they're looking at things that actually hit their hip pocket, inflation and interest rates, and kind of gone, well, we're not feeling so bad. What do you think's driving that?
So I think it's probably more around what's happening with the domestic recovery. So I think when things were looking a little bit shaky with the domestic economy, there was a concern that improvements in family finances wouldn't sustain. I think the consumers are a little bit more convinced about what they're seeing domestically, and I wouldn't understate the housing market story as well. When we break it down, as you'd expect, the mortgage belt saw sentiment decline. They are really at the pointy end of the inflation and interest rate situation. But outside of that, outright homeowners saw a big rise in sentiment, and renters as well saw a significant improvement. So I think it's a mixture of better performance in the domestic economy. Perhaps the around the inflation piece, it wasn't as bad as maybe some had expected. There was a risk that the RBA could come out guns blazing at its November meeting and talk about the risk of inflation and interest rates perhaps even needing to move higher. Instead, they assessed that a significant part of the rise in inflation was likely temporary, and they never considered a rate hike. So perhaps there were some that were also bracing for something a little bit worse. Certainly we saw that over the course of the survey week, the RBA meeting was a positive for sentiment. So post-RBA responses were a little bit better. So a little bit of that tension came out. As I said, the mortgage belt's still not happy, but those other segments are tapping into the improved domestic economy and the improved housing market as well.
How are consumers feeling about their own finances and the way they intend to spend, especially as we head into that all-important Christmas trading period?
This picture is a little bit more positive, but a little bit more mixed than the wider rise in sentiment. So on the one hand, buyer sentiment has improved. When we ask people about whether it's a good time to buy a major household item, they're now positive for the first time in 4 years. But when we ask them about their finances compared to a year ago, it's improved a little bit, but it's still downbeat. So they're still not quite gung-ho. We had an extra question this month asking people specifically about their Christmas spending intentions. And the responses to this question are always fairly downbeat. It was fun, about 70 or 80% of people were going to plan to spend less than last year. But it was less downbeat than previous years. Outside of that COVID period, it was less restrained than we've seen since about 2016. So it's mixed. It's looking more positive, but I don't think we're quite off to the races. And it'll be a very interesting year to see how we perform through the Christmas period.
Okay. And in wrapping everything up, so it sounds like to me, yes, the consumer is becoming more positive. It's in there are more optimists out there than negatives than pessimists. However, you're still seeing a lot of a bit of a mixed read there, but there is some consumer demand, which is what the RBA has kind of said in their last meeting. So what does it say about the economy and perhaps the way the RBA might be thinking? Because as I mentioned earlier, the market's discounting the chance of another rate cut. But I think you guys at Westpac are still thinking about one or two more, right?
That's right. Yeah, we expect a further easing in the back end of next year. You know, the RBA has swung back onto inflation alert at the moment, and we think it will take a couple of inflation reads before they get comfortable that we're tracking back to the 2-3% band. And so that sort of delay to the easing, is about inflation. Outside of that, they'll be a little bit comforted that that decision to pause, move into an extended pause, hasn't really knocked sentiment over, and the recovery still looks to be tracking quite well. As I said, it's a little bit mixed around the actual spending side of the survey. And I would sort of just warn that, you know, it's all in the expectations part of the survey, and expectations can swing around quite quickly. So we need to sort of be careful that that could evaporate. But for now, I think the RBA would be quite comfortable that this is telling them that there's not going to be a sudden stop in the consumer recovery, and that they will have this time to bring inflation back under control. Whether we get rate cuts in the second half of next year really depends on how successful they are in bringing inflation back under control.
That's Matthew Hassan there, Senior Economist at Westpac. And it takes us to the Australian share market, which fell today. The S&P ASX 200 off by 0.1% to 8,818. 8 of 11 sectors ended higher. But the big loser today, financials, down around about 2%, followed by IT stocks, some utility, energy and property stocks doing well. The two worst performers on the market today, Bendigo and Adelaide Bank, shares down by around about 8.5%, followed by the Commonwealth Bank, shares tumbling 6.6% today, doing well. Stocks, including Pilbara Minerals, up by about 7.5%. Liontown Resources, 7.8% firmer. Those two lithium-based stocks there. And the best performer, Light and Wonder, up by more than 10% today. So to take a closer look at the day's market action, including his take on the banks, I spoke with Jamie Hanna, the Deputy Head of Investments and Capital Markets at Van Eck. Jamie, what's driving investor sentiment at the moment, both locally and internationally?
Look, I think there's a lot of momentum and optimism built into the market at the moment, despite some really high valuations. A lot of this is really being driven out of the USA in particular, as the tech sector's spending on artificial intelligence is reaching new levels. It's hundreds of billions of dollars. So it's really adding a big backdrop to the market. At the same time, the US economic fundamentals haven't really declined as bad as what some predicted with the introduction of tariffs. So it's still allowing quite high levels of confidence and capital to flow. So this market buoyancy in global markets has flowed into Australia and the share market has benefited. I think it's probably fair to say, though, that at the moment, the market is pricing in growth at a premium over profit.
Okay, so how is all of this being reflected in the market today? Because if we drill it through, we're seeing gold and lithium in particular doing well.
Yeah, look, our market today is really mixed. Some of the big banks are down on the back of some announcements today, whereas resources are up across the board nearly. So overnight, the US markets were really strong, and we initially took a bit of a lead from that. But if we actually look at what's panned out over the day, CBA announced, Bendigo Bank announced, and CBA really has dragged the market down. Gold has done well. That's because the gold price rallied over 2% last night, and that's benefited some of the gold miners. And then on the lithium front, well, you know, certain types of lithium that we mine in Australia, the price has been booming recently, and a lot of analysts have really upgraded some of the price targets. And that's flown through into some of the lithium miners. I think it's fair to say that lithium, though, is quite volatile in the short term anyway, but it's still a critical element for battery storage long term.
Okay, so you mentioned the Commonwealth Bank shares tumbling as much as 6% at one stage when I looked. That's despite a 2% rise in quarterly cash profit to $2.6 billion. We should remind ourselves, though, that shares are up still 15% since the low point this year. But can you run us through the result, what you thought of it, and what perhaps investors didn't like about it?
Yeah, look, CBA's result today wasn't too bad on paper. On a purely financial metric, they delivered that interim profit that you've just mentioned of $2.6 billion. You know, that's still 1% to 2% higher than expectations. Home loans grew, deposits grew, while operating expenses increased slightly. I think the key issue really was that their net interest margin was reduced and came under pressure. But this isn't particularly bad news. I think if you really step back, you have to actually look at the actual multiples that Commonwealth Bank is trading on. And realistically, it's too high to sustain this share price. Nearly every major research analyst in the country has a sell recommendation on the stock. So it's really hard to be a CBA buyer at these levels, despite some of the rallies that have been happening over recent times. Maybe it's time that CBA share price is normalizing. It's probably honestly too hard to tell at the moment, but there's certainly skepticism over its valuation as its price and valuation is out of touch with other Australian banks and also out of touch with global banks around the world.
So speaking of other Australian banks, how does it compare with those that reported recently? We even saw the likes of Bendigo's share price tumble today after its 3.2% fall in quarterly cash earnings.
Yeah, look, the other major banks have really just been chasing CBA for years. The other majors have installed new senior management recently, and they've announced some big structural changes to really close the gap with CBA. Now, they all can't succeed, obviously. They all can't outperform CBA. But the strategies that they've been outlining have really, you know, had a bit of a windfall with some investors, and they're quite receptive to their plans. You know, they want to see changes in some of the other banks to try and displace CBA as the incumbent. That's obviously flown into CBA. If they're the leader, then they need to continue to keep setting leading example. In the case of Bendigo, you know, you identified the fact that they obviously fell on the back of expenses climbing. That's true. However, Bendigo noted on their bottom line that their margins have increased and they've also really been growing their user base and their up bank. So they're really in a different cycle to the other major banks. And I think there's, you know, despite the sharp fall today, I still think there's a lot of upside for them.
Okay. And finally, what are you telling your clients right now and where do you see the opportunities for investors?
Yeah, look, the market is very difficult to predict right now with big tech still driving the returns. I think, you know, finding a good valuation metric at the moment is very difficult. Realistically, we've been recommending gold miners for a while now. That trade, you know, has done very well over time. It could be peaking at some point. Although if gold continues to go up, then that's still on the table. I think realistically, you really need a good diversified portfolio. I know I've been saying it before, but if you're not diversified in this type of market, then you're unable to capitalize on some of the upside and protect yourself from any downside shocks that might be coming through.
That is Jamie Hanna there from Van Eck, and he wraps up the podcast for this Tuesday. Don't forget, if you enjoy it, to give it a rating or review on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Click that subscribe button, and I will see you tomorrow. Goodbye.
This SBS On The Money podcast is provided for informational purposes only. The content on this podcast should not be understood as constituting advice or a recommendation. It is not personal advice and does not consider your personal circumstances or objectives. You should contact a licensed professional before making any financial decision.